You're listening to Comedy Central.
Now hiring. A New York City surgeon is now hiring for the position of wife after finding out that his wife was leading a secret life as a high-priced call girl making up to $700,000 in income she had been hiding from him.
Oh. You said up to $700,000?
She earned nearly $700,000 in cash over the last 4 years, third. Dr. Han Jo Kim seeks an annulment of the marriage after discovering on an iMessage a raunchy message meant for his wife that revealed a sexual encounter with another man.
Well, wait a minute. Did she cheat or did she have a job?
She was getting dick on the side.
But she was getting paid for it, so it's a job.
You going to spend this?
She did have a side hustle that her man basically, I would say, recovered some internal correspondence. And he did not like the internal correspondence about her job and took umbrage to that.
And Rhonda said he cute, so I'm about to look him up.
You tell Down South Georgia girl to be quiet right now. The wife claimed that she needed to frequently visit China for weeks at a time in connection with an app that she was developing. In fact, such travel was for the provision of sexual services in exchange for money.
It's a job. She was basically getting paid to fly the pussy to China. Like, she was like, if you want this draw, pay me for it. It's a job, right? I don't know. It might have. I'm saying, man, she's being unfairly punished for her entrepreneurial spirit.
He just wasn't aware. That's all.
I can't believe y'all. My name is Roy. This is my job fair. Happy middle of the week to you. JG, how do you do today?
I'm well, Roy. How are you?
Morehouse man, Sir Ralph III, you inch closer to college football season, and our hatred for one another shall grow. But until then, how are you doing today, sir?
I'm good, man. Love always, man. I'm quite happy today. You know what I'm saying? It's a good day.
So, a lot of fallout from last week's freakiest episode.
Fallout?
I know, well, fallout in a good way.
Okay.
Because we need to talk about COVID. Mm-hmm. And there's something happening in this country where, you know, President Joe Biden is saying federal employees, you either got to get vaccinated or get tested once a week. The NFL is doing some stuff. Netflix is, it's a lot of mandatory employment vaccination things that are starting to come down the pipe that we're going to get Down South Georgia girl on. We're going to do it the Daily Show way. We're going to research it for a week, make sure we got all our shit together. And then we got the COVID testing dude as well. So we'll deal with that next week. I thought about talking about that this week. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of things we still need to discuss about this freaky shit.
Facts.
Adult entertainment. Thank you.
Freaky shit. Say what I said, JG.
Whatever.
Artisanal used draws. Artisanal used draws. Been hearing it all week.
And I mean this sincerely. We have to send another thank you to Bash and Callie for really opening up their world to us and the ways that they've used the world of erotica and the internet and, you know, those convergence of those two things to make money. But if we are about presenting these employment avenues as options, I thought it was important that we not get such a myopic perspective from just two people. And more importantly, we're going to be joined a little later on in the program by Lisa Ann, Yes, the Lisa Ann. Interracial point. Jacqueline, do you know who Lisa Ann is?
Let's
just stop right there.
No. I did not know until Down South Georgia girl. Why did you get that
close to the mic?
Legend. I'm sorry.
While you pull up some of that information on Lisa Ann JG, but she's a legendary interracial porn star, but you know, she's on the right side of a lot of issues when it comes to racism and social justice, and can speak to a lot of the bullshit that goes on in that industry.
Yes.
Because we didn't really get into a lot of that with, you know, Bally and Cash do that thing, but Lisa Ann has been at the top. Like, she's won awards.
Oh.
Yes, for okay. that.
Yeah, major awards.
Before you get too far.
The Emmys of porn. She's won awards.
Yeah. Like, John Legend's got an EGOT. She's got one of those, but in porn.
She's got a got.
You know I'm going to make a face.
She's got a
oh, God.
Right. Lifetime Gap. I'm being disrespectful. It's amazing. It's amazing.
I can't.
I'm being disrespectful. But no, but seriously, Lisa Ann has been at the pinnacle of the porn industry. So if anyone has seen all of the things that could go wrong for someone in that life, it is her. Mm. So I just feel like we need to today, this week's episode needs to be a bit of an accompaniment to last week's episode to give a few more perspectives on money-making revenue, ways you can make revenue, but also the bigger picture of how not to get swallowed up by this machine.
Pun intended.
I can't believe you're defending an escort. So, all right, so how about this? If you was dating, this is back to the surgeon with his $700,000 side hustle wife. If you was dating a dude and then you found out he was banging other women, but then just found out, oh yeah, they pay me though. I'm a gigolo. Y'all staying together?
No. But they're married, so they got to work this out.
No, we
I
don't.
Guess they're not.
What you just said? We got to work
Oh my gosh, did you see your face?
What? I hope so. What? No. There's no working that out.
It says for better or worse.
It don't say for hoeing and pimping. Like, exactly. that is not in the bylaws. Like, unless we had an agreement going in that, you know what, while I'm out here making this cheese, if you want to go out there and escort on the side, baby, I'm cool with that. Nah, that is not a workout discussion. That's why he didn't know.
I have cheated. I have been cheated on. Aww. It's all in the game.
What the hell is wrong with you? But go ahead.
That's fine. That's all in the game. But I have never been cheated on to the point that a motherfucker had to report it to the IRS. She had to file 1099s because it was too much going on.
I'm just saying.
So why do you think she didn't tell him, though?
What do you mean, why?
Unless y'all know something about the story, I don't. It seems like this dude was a successful surgeon and he was on some old, I'll take care of you. All you got to do is stay here and be pretty. But much like everything else in life, that's just not enough for some people especially. And she was like, you know what? If I'm going to do this, let me get paid for it. That's hella deep. That's hella deep. Like, it's one thing for your woman to cheat on you, but it's a whole nother thing for your woman to cheat on you and then get paid for cheating on you. Like, that's heavy, man. Like, and then you know she won't touch a dude when she went home because she was like, oh, you got to pay for that. And this dude was like, but I'm a surgeon.
Wait a minute. I just looked him up. He is really handsome. That was stupid.
Why is it stupid? It's money. See, and this is exactly why we're going to have Hurricane Fury on in the job fair part of the show. Because this is a woman who literally just busts it wide open on the internet, has a daughter, and she is not hidden anything about her truth. Mm-hmm. And she makes money doing it, and she's happy. If this Mississippi wife wanted to bust it wide open over in Hong Kong, then that's what she should have been up front about to my man.
I agree. So is he filing for a divorce?
Oh yeah, he don't want a divorce. He wants an annulment. You get nothing.
You get nothing.
She obviously doesn't need it.
$700,000. I mean, over 4 years, she made $700,000. That's more than some NBA and MLB players. I mean, she didn't have to go through the minors for it.
You know, as in terms of a job occupation, escort is fair. Mm-hmm. But I just think you can't hide that. But that's a separate level.
I agree with that.
Yeah, you can't hide it. I totally agree. You can't hide it.
And I agree that anyone who doesn't know the difference between an escort and a sugar baby, they need to go back and listen to the previous episode because I didn't know.
Well, nonetheless, former Miss Connecticut Regina Turner and soon-to-be ex-wife of Dr. Hanjo Kim were flying across international waters during a pandemic to deliver that monkey.
Let him know.
You are
Cody's most outstanding employee of the week.
That's some good money right there, JG. You risking COVID? Shit. Mm-hmm. Shit.
She but she came home to a doctor who could take care of herself.
She got that Pfizer. It was out the door.
She's talking about Pfizer. She got that Johnson & Johnson. She just wanted to come one time.
Oh, my goodness gracious. All right. Speaking of sugar babies and kept women, we have one on the phone now for Worst and First. JG, who are we talking to?
She has cute glasses. Her name is Wendy, and she wants to talk to us about Calvin Klein and underwear. Hi, how are you guys?
Hello. Hello, I Wendy. Do. Thank you.
Well, here's what happened. I was living in New York City. I just moved there to continue doing stand-up comedy. And as you know, you have to have five different jobs. And I was temping full-time at Calvin Klein in the underwear department. And then going out to bar shows at night, trying to get in at clubs, whatever, just hustling nonstop. A girlfriend of mine one night said to me, she was looking for a used costume for a play she was doing. She's like, you know what's disgusting? People are selling their used panties on Craigslist for money. And I was like, oh, that is disgusting.
Yes.
Yeah, what's disgusting about it is that I'm sitting on money and I'm just letting, I'm every day that I am jerking off and just wiping my hands on my sheets, I'm actively losing money.
Talk and, that. Talk it, Wendy. Let them know.
Yeah, and I'm kinky. I'm into shit. So I was like, let me see if people want to do this. And I was working in the underwear department of Calvin Klein. Mm-hmm. So you get free samples. And the sample size is too small. I know. Jacqueline's like, dude, it's genius. Well, the best part was these are like, I checked out the market. I'm an adult woman. Mm-hmm. I used to own a business. So I looked at the market on Craigslist and they're all selling like the cheap cotton panties and they're like, I'll mail these to you. But I had like high-end, high-quality silk lace, but they were all too small for me to actually fit over my fat ass. But I'm like, well, they're not too small to wad up and, you know, run around all night doing shows. And then I would meet these guys in person.
Yeah.
And whoa, like,
hold on.
Yeah.
Whoa. Why in person? What the fuck? Like, did that add,
Well, for just two things. One, I'm into the kink. Also, because I was getting the panties for free, it's all profit. It's all profit. So if I'm going to pay for shipping, that cuts into my profit margin. And it's like,
fair.
And all the pervs that are paying for this shit are these rich finance dudes in Manhattan. They have more money than they know what to do with.
Okay.
I'm a smart lady. And you only really have to be able to do like third grade math to understand, wait a minute, I could wear underwear for no money, or I could give it away to someone for $50. And if you meet them in person, you also usually get a free lunch or at least a free coffee.
Pardon me for pocket watching. I'm sure your prices have gone up. Business is good. How much are you getting per pair of draws?
I would do
delivery, tag, tax, and title. What are you doing per penny?
I would do 50. And then if they wanted to also take me to lunch, I would do 100 for my time.
Lowball, but that's still good bread.
Game right there, though.
Yeah, well, because here's the other thing, too, is I didn't want to go up too high. You want it to be something where it's like, oh, I can afford this. It's not too much money, because if you're like $200 a pair.
So you were going for the early adopters is what you're saying here. Like, you know, you were looking for people that were trying to get in on the fringe, so to speak. You know what I'm saying?
And the smart thing is I had two regulars and the one regular ended up taking me to Montauk for like 4 days. I flipped him into a sugar daddy. He wanted to get to the source of the panties. And I was like, well, according to my calculations, at 15 minutes for $50, a weekend equals. It's genius.
Hey, now you're talking to broke niggas that don't know nothing about geography. Montauk, is that Martha's Vineyard or is that the Hamptons?
I know it's the Hamptons.
That's the Hamptons. Yeah. Okay. Montauk's
it's
the Hamptons.
Right. Yes. That's beyond. It's right on the end. It's kind of like the white trash version of the Hamptons.
Okay. So, Wendy, do you still do this?
I do not sell panties anymore. And I'm okay. I'll talk about it here, but I'm very open about it on stage. And I have my whole TikTok is like about this.
What's your TikTok's name, Wendy, by the way?
The TikTok is The Helpful Hoe. Oh, the TikTok is The Helpful Hoe. I started, and this again was in New York, just I dated a guy who's super rich and ended up becoming a sugar daddy. And so.
So you cashed out.
Yeah, I cashed out. I was like, wait a minute. What's something that's enjoyable for me also?
Yeah, let's go back to the panties for a moment. I'm very curious as to what do people that buy them do with them? Because it's men and women, I've learned.
So what I guess they do, because this is what I did ask. I was like, so what are you doing?
Yeah. I guess they do.
I didn't know what they did with it, but they use it to, and I know this is a network show, but they use it to. They use it to jerk off. I mean, I'm talking about selling my used, like, cum-filled panties. And so I'm like, can I say jerk off? But they use it to, they will, like, smell it and then use it to jerk off. Yeah.
Okay. They're rich men. They can't just get a date. I'm so confused here.
I think what it is, and from what I've gathered with the guys that I've met, it's a kink, and it's kind of right on the cusp of sex work. And so the girls that sell panties are like the good girls of sex work. And it's similar with the sugar dating thing. That's why people feel better about that, because they're like, oh, we're cultivating a relationship. And I'm like,
the Hooters waitress to a stripper.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. Yeah. One more thing for me. Mm-hmm. Back in the day when you were doing this, like, what was a monthly haul? I'm all about the financing part of it.
Well, this is the job fit.
It depended, like, because when I got the thing is, I had regulars, and that's why the FaceTime I think is important, because you create an emotional bond with someone, and so now they're, you know, they want to hang out. So with the panties, I would say the most I ever made in 1 month, I think, was maybe like $2,000. And then
a nice little chunk.
Yeah, I mean,
that's
it's
nice
like
change.
For your lunch break, on a lunch break, you know, go meet some guy and you pass it off. It was so fun. It was like such a drug deal, because it's like the money, you just like slip it in pockets.
Is it like weed though, where you pull it out and smell it to make sure it's quality product?
Right.
Like they test the cocaine, they dab their tongue on the thing.
Yeah, they rub.
In my mind, I totally see you like doing the secret handshake off to some dude, and he'd be like, oh no, that ain't that real shit. I'm with Roy here. I'm confused.
Well, if you can smell it, the key is, can you smell it through the sealed bag? That's where you know you're like, okay, this is real. Oh, this isn't some bullshit egg white mixture or whatever these people are doing on the internet as a trick. I'm like, oh no, this is authentic.
Last one for me. What was the creepiest thing that has ever happened during a handoff?
It wasn't creepy. It was maybe a little creepy. The other great thing about selling panties and, you know, sex work in general, it's a mobile job, right? Mm-hmm. So as a comic, like, you're on the road for shows, you want to make some extra money, you just put some pictures of, like, hey, I put picture of panties on Craigslist in that area, you can make an extra couple $100. It was in
sell
L.A.
Them as merch.
I'm about to say, so that's merch. That's merch right there. That's merch. I respect that. That's flames right there.
You have to hustle to make money. I don't know. So I was in LA and I put an ad up. I was there doing shows. This was a few years ago. Some guy wanted to buy some panties off me. So I get the panties. I go with my girlfriend and she's like, I cannot believe you're fucking doing this. I'm like, this is not a bit for stage. This is money. This is income.
Yeah.
So I meet this guy in the parking lot of CVS. Of course he's driving this beat up van and I give him the panties. Yeah. And he was like, he had sunglasses on and it was nighttime. And I'm like, ugh. So I sell him the panties and he goes, what else do you have? And I was like, nothing. This is what you wanted. And he said, are you wearing socks? And I was like, right now? He goes, I'll buy your socks off you for $100. So he bought my socks and then he smelled them and I had tennis shoes on. He was like, can I have those shoes? And I was like, bro, these are my shoes. He's like, he offered me $500 for my tennis shoes. And I'm like,
so he'd have had shoes.
Yeah. So he bought, so I made an extra $600 selling socks and shoes in CVS parking lot. And I was like, we need to go get shoes. I had to go buy shoes before the show.
Congratulations, Wendy.
Yeah.
I have so many questions that we don't have time for, just about the whole world of being a sugar baby and how you write that off on the taxes, because technically it's not love, it's transactional, but we'll have to get to that another time. You are the helpful hoe on TikTok. What are the socials can people find you at?
Instagram, I'm at WendyBird82. And then you can go to my website. It's WendyStarling.com. Now things are open. I'm starting to tour and stuff like that. So go there. Podcast, everything is there.
But all no right, more panties.
No, I mean, I'm not against it. If you're listening right. and you've got a lot of money, I'll mail you a pair of panties.
You gotta up the price. You
I will.
Fucking, you know.
Yo, you tell these pirates, yo, draw start at $250. They're yeah. a special edition. They start at $250. Get that change.
Correct. $250, and you have to pay for shipping. Please do not cut in again, don't cut into my profits.
I'm with it. She ain't yeah. delivering no more. She needs that FedEx money too, son. Get
I
it.
Got to say, you are by far one of the most helpful hoes that has ever called into the job fair.
Thank you.
And I'm thankful, respectfully.
Thank you, Wendy.
Respectfully. Thank you, guys.
Thank you, Wendy.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
Bye, have a good later. One.
Bye. You just can't walk around saying respectfully and you just think that cleans everything up.
After the break, we're going to talk with a woman who doesn't hide what she's into, mm-hmm. and she's open about it. She's paid the price when it comes to dating. She's a woman that's made her way through the world of, you know, cam footage and has made a lot of money doing it. But she has also pivoted into the world of video games. We'll find out how she makes her money, and it might be something in it for you that can help. It's a job fair. We'll be right back. Job fair, we are back. As you can already tell, we're getting ready to get to the job fair, talk to the homie Hurricane Fury. But first, Ralph, I got a quick question for you. Who is the ugliest person you can remember from your childhood?
What kind of question is that?
Jacqueline, this is an ad. You cannot interrupt it.
That is not
nice. I would say Malik Sealy, the ugliest person okay. from my childhood I can remember.
What? Encourage it. Go ahead.
I remember when I moved to Birmingham, Ralph. I moved to Birmingham the summer of my third grade year of elementary school, and we were at the 4th Avenue YMCA. They've since bulldozed it, but there was these two kids. They were twins. They were always funky, even after they got out the pool. We called them the Doobie Brothers. I don't remember their real names, but the fact that I can recall them and the fact that Ralph could recall someone shows you the lingering trauma that ugly people leave you.
Talk about it, bro. Talk about
Sackleston it. Sackleston State Community College is the only community college for good-looking people so that you are not distracted by terrible-looking faces as you attempt to get your education. Fall registration is upon us. You can get a 4.0, but not if you're a 4. Sackleston State, hit them up online. SackStateCommunityCollege.edu. JG, who is on the phone with us?
We have a lovely woman who is a legend, actually. You'll know the name when I share it with you. It is Hurricane Fury.
What's she a legend at, Jacqueline? What does she do?
You want me to say it, and you know I'm not going to say it.
Say it, Jay.
Oh, I know what he's trying to do. He knows I'm not going to say it.
I'd say she got the streets and the official, you know, Pornhub Award nominated woman who does a lot of squirt videos, a lot of like, just, you know, just... We could be for real on this show.
Yeah.
Look, play with yourself. Spray the room a little bit. A little skeet, skeet.
She was a game changer, bro. She was a game changer.
Not a little bit. I could spurt my height. I mean, I'm not that tall, but
how tall are you?
5'2".
I'm 5'2".
Okay.
So, Fury and I met back on the MySpace days.
Yes, JG.
Yes, in MySpace.
And been cool ever since. You were one of those people that was about that cam life long before this OnlyFans shit, long
yes.
before everybody was all these Johnny come latelys with their little cell phones on Snapchat selling a little peek and a snip for $2 and ain't really doing shit. There's an art to what you do. There's a performance to what you do. There's a business to what you do. And you can also pivot it over into Twitch. We could get into that. You know, I don't know how, you know, I don't know what you put on your 1099 for tax returns. What do you put? Do you just put squirt machine?
I put it that I own a pressure washing company. No.
Oh, son.
Oh.
Yo.
Oh.
And I know we're talking around it, but for the people who don't know, Fury makes videos where she masturbates and squirts and sprays all over the place. It's high pressure coming. For lack of a better word. And
a lot I know
Jacqueline's mama is listening right now.
Hi, Jacqueline's mama.
Oh, she will call you and love to talk to you because she has the same questions that I have right now. So is there something special? How do you
How did you discover you had the gift?
Bingo. Yeah.
I was doing a live cam show in my shower because at the time I was still staying at home. I was saving my money up to, you know, get on my feet and move out. And I would do shows in the shower, basically, you know, to hide from my family while I'm trying to film. And I'm camming and everything, and I'm in the shower, and I started feeling it come. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, I remember somebody said, if you feel like you have to pee, you don't.
Oh.
And squeeze right when you feel that you're getting ready to come and it's gonna go. So I was already in the shower. So I'm like, well, if I make a mess, we already in the shower. Mm-hmm. I tried it. I end the show because now I'm like, I gotta try and replicate it again. Mm-hmm. So I'm trying to recreate the feeling,
You didn't, you're like a comedian that stumbled on a good joke and got to remember what the fuck you did.
I done hit a lick, no pun intended.
When you made that first choice, like, walk me through that moment of, yes, I will put my titties online with my face and I will get money and I'm okay with it.
My ex that I was dating, he... Well, I can say that he was rich. And at that point, my pockets was rabbit ears. So I made a calendar laying in a bed of roses with my hair done up and everything. And I sent him a pair of underwear. See, JG, that's why you need to get on this underwear thing. So he's loving the calendar, but he's like, where's the booty shots? So to get back at him for saying, where's the booty shots? And not appreciating the fact that I worked hard on this little calendar that I did, I went and I found a photographer and I took some eye candy pictures. And that's when I added them to MySpace. And I ended up with like 17,000 followers back in the Buffy the Body Day. And that's when I met you.
Wow. That's right.
Well, you was prank calling people.
Yeah, I was still prank calling people. I remember you distinctly because when I followed you, that was an argument with the woman I was dating at the time. And, you know, you have to remember, you know, Jacqueline, I'm from that era. Like, I'm the nigga in the strip club that talked to the strippers because I ain't studying this. You know, like, who are you as a person? Like, I just like chatting with it. You know how I am.
And we started talking. Yeah.
And we just started talking. But, you know, MySpace, fucking dry snitches. Roy just commented on Hurricane Furious. Hey, everybody, come look at what Roy. And I don't even think you, I think you had just started doing the shower stuff. I don't think you was the squirt king yet. Okay, so.
No, not yet. Not yet.
Well, I want to go backwards for a moment because you were explaining about how you get to that pitch. The men here don't understand the level of control you have over your body.
You have to have that much control over your body to, one, be able to squirt, and two, to turn it off.
But isn't the squirting exhausting?
Like, oh, yes.
It looks like that's a lot of fluid.
It's good cardio.
You just drink Gatorade? What the fuck do you have to eat to maintain the squirt? Like, how you rebuild the juice, the squirt juice in the juice tank? Is it electrolytes? So if it's not pee, then it's got to be some shit that's derivative from a liquid you consume. So what liquid do you overconsume on a regular to make sure your squirt tank is full of coochie juice? Because I'm reading, and this is from your interview in Cosmopolitan from earlier this year.
Yeah.
To keep up with demand, Hurricane Fury typically films for a week at a time, then stockpiles the footage, editing 3 or 4 videos per day. So if you stop, so if it's a tape week, what is your diet during tape week?
Really stuff that'll stick with me. You know how old people be like, something stick to your ribs?
Grits, something and biscuits that's and like,
as bad as it sounds, something that's like heavy in carbs. So it's going to stick with me because setting up cameras, equipment, doing hair and makeup. I have a cosmetology degree, so I do my own looks and everything.
She do your own graphics, your own website development.
She's her
everything
own crew,
you see.
Keep the money.
She's I her do. Own crew.
It's the Tyler Perry of squirting.
I say the Steven Spiel Negro.
Steven Spiel Negro.
The Steven Spiel Negro of porn.
To quote JG, copy that. I am, that is, yes.
But so I was eating stuff that's going to stick with me because I know that I'm going to be setting up and working a lot. And even afterwards, it's the cleanup, it's putting the equipment back, it's getting the footage off of the cameras and everything. It is a lot. So I'm eating things like peanut butter and jelly sandwiches because peanut butter is going to give you energy and it's carbs and it's going to stay with me for a while. But yeah, it really kicks my ass afterwards. Mm-hmm. Once I'm done, that's it. I'm asleep for like 10 to 14 hours.
So I know we got to get you out of here, but so I want to talk about what you've expanded into. Number one, also in this Cosmopolitan article, and I didn't know this about you in what? All the years that we've talked. I did not know that you had a daughter who's now 18 because you do a great job of separating your private from your public.
Thank you. That's good. She's right here, actually. She just brought me something that was mailed to me. Oh, my shirt. They're talking about you. Roy Wood Jr. Yeah. She watches you on The Daily Show.
Oh, love it. So what do you do over at Twitch? Tell us a little bit about that and how you're able to pivot, because I know you ain't on Twitch squirting on no damn PlayStation 5 as hard as it is to get one of them motherfuckers.
No,
but she might
I'm
do
not.
It just out of spite because she a PC gamer, Roy. She might she just do it out of spite all day.
My keyboard is waterproof. I play on a custom built Lenovo Legion. My mom has been gone since 99, so she's probably looking down enjoying this right now. She bought a Nintendo for us, and I was like 3 years old, and I have to stay there and watch her play. She would let us play a little bit, but I grew up watching my mom play Street Fighter, Mario, Duck Hunt, you know, all the classics. I dress up as my adult entertainer self. I have the girls up to my chin, full face, hair, and they can watch me and they sit and they talk to me while I'm playing Sims. And I'm also really good at fight games. So I'm shit talking, you know my mouth. And that way I'm giving them the entertainer that they have watched for years, but I'm still entertaining.
Just one more for me. You have a daughter. Sure. How have you prepared her for the work that you actually do? Because you do lucrative work. This is your body. You do whatever you want with it. You have that right. But then how do you prepare your children for the work that you're doing?
You know what? When I first started doing this, there was no textbook. There was no manual. She grew up in it. And she's learned to accept me for the fact that I pay the bills in the house and I take good care of her. And she loves me and she is one of my best friends on the planet. And she would basically tell them, like, but my mom is rich for busting it open. So if you have a problem with it, then that's on you. You know, it has its days for all of us, not just my daughter, but dating and dealing with my fans for myself. But you handle everything in stride, because when I started doing this, I never thought that I'd be famous from it, but I'm grateful and appreciative for every opportunity and every moment that I've received. And you just take things as they come, you handle them, and you move on from them.
Hurricane Fury is the name. Google that, but not on a work computer.
Incognito. If they're looking to watch me squirt my height, then they could go to hurricanefury.com and I have all my links, all of my socials and everything that's there for that. Now,
very
if they
well
want to
page.
See me.
Very well designed page.
Thank you. I did it myself. Now, if they want to see me, my YouTube vlogs, if they want to see me stream my video games and just indulge in my regular life and my regular side, it's yourgirlfury.com.
One of these days we'll meet, but it's been great to be your friend for 15 years. And I do mean that.
You will be about 2 hours away from me next month.
Oh, well, let's not say the city. We don't want the stalkers to know.
Nah, that's why I stopped right there. That didn't say the date.
Okay. Well, that could be anywhere. That could be anywhere.
Correct. But I will make an effort to see you.
Hurricane Fury, thank you for coming to the job fair.
Nice to meet you.
I appreciate you.
Nice to meet you.
After the break, we are going to get into some more stuff. It is sexy time episode. Yes. 60 times.
Why do you do that? Those accents are awful.
60 times. Drop that. We are back.
That's what I mean.
Job fair, moseying along, man. We almost done with this freaky stuff. We're going to get back serious next week with COVID, all right?
Okay.
So we did the freakiest last week. I guess this one is kind of the second freakiest episode, you know, the serious side to freaky.
The money side. The money side. Again, multi-billion dollar adult entertainment industry. There are people who will pivot into this because they are naturally inclined. They are body positive. I mean, I've learned a lot from these last two shows.
At the end of the day, brother, like I keep looking at this whole thing, man, and I'm kind of with Jacqueline. Like last week taught me a lot too, man. I haven't, some of the conversations and stuff that I've had post have been interesting to say the least. And I thought that we were only educating Jacqueline to find out, man, there are a lot of people who didn't know. I didn't know some of the stuff we spoke about. But when I'm talking to people at Family Affairs over about what I do, there's been, you know how you say something, then the whole table just looks at you and is like, what? Mm-hmm. So when I was dropping that I watched somebody sell artisan used panties last week, the whole table was like, excuse me, what was that? What? They sent the kids away. Yeah. We need to talk about it. Like, we need to talk about it.
Farm raised.
Free range.
All right.
Free range.
Let's get to my favorite part of the show where we bring this brother on to cause reckless mayhem. People, he is a man who has lived a diverse Southern experience. We have him on to break the ice to help you, the job fair listener, have topics that you can, you know, bring up with your Black co-workers or your white co-workers, so you can have something to chit-chat with. The motherfucker you can't stand deep down, and you might be having sex with his wife behind his back and he doesn't realize it. But either way, you got to keep it smooth at the water cooler. We welcome him back on the show from Parts Unknown. His mama named him Narado. We call him Rod for short. Rod.
What's up? What's cracking, man? You doing all right tonight?
Good, oh, yeah. We good, man. We was getting freaky last week with that interracial couple. And we doing it again, giving JG some game on squirting. And squirt videos and, you know.
He wants me to say the word, Rod, and I won't say it.
Say what word? Squirt?
Yeah.
Say it.
Why won't you say it?
I don't know.
You've said it before.
He wants me to use it in this context.
All right, Rod, let's hurry up and get to it. We got an interracial porn star Hall of Famer on the line for Scam of the Week, and I really would much rather talk to Lisa Ann than talk to you. No disrespect to you.
That's perfect for what we got going on now, because right now what white people should be talking to black people about is an interracial couple just released their pre-wedding photo shoot. And it's a black dude with a white woman, and it is a slavery-themed photo shoot.
Talk about it, Rod.
No.
Talk about it.
I'm talking.
You're a liar.
100% slavery photo shoot.
You're a liar.
Swear to God.
You're kidding.
Black man, white woman. He's wearing chains and everything.
Everything.
Really?
And he's in the slave outfit, and she's like dressed like a Southern belle.
Yeah, she's got on the antebellum dress, and he's wearing a straw hat and like khakis and shackles. And the caption for the photo shoot, leading up on Instagram, says 1842. Days passed and everything changed. Our love got stronger and stronger. He was no longer a slave, he was part of the family. So he basically pulled a Thomas Jefferson out this motherfucker, and he's Sally Hemings.
And Brian, tell him the truth, Brian. Like, we ain't talking like some little dude either. So he's like a big look. Like, he looked like he worked in the field, and she looked like she's Max's daughter. For real. Like, for real.
Yeah, he'd have been a slave in real life. Like, the nigga is.
Oh, no.
A nice buck, if you will.
Yeah, he's a buck for real. Thanks. Yeah. Call it. And she's Missy Ann.
This is awful.
How the fuck am I supposed to bring this up to a... Wait, first, who is this for? Is this for... I know this ain't for white people to talk to niggas about.
It absolutely is. But Now, out of everything I've ever told white people to talk about, and I've given you tips, we got to get very specific about this one. White people, when you come at black people with this one, all you can say is, did you see that slavery photo shoot? I mean, is that not the most offensive thing you've ever seen? You got to stand from the standpoint of you judging the white girl in the photos.
Facts.
And take a hard line stance against slavery and this portrayal. And then, as usual, just let black people take it from there. Let them crack the jokes.
That's a layup.
Don't you crack the jokes. Okay. You just say this is horrible.
They deserve each other.
Ain't even gonna argue that.
I want to present the question to Roy and Ralph. What white woman is fine enough to get you to be the brother in these photos?
Oh, shit.
Yeah, she would have to be the baddest. I mean, she I don't know, man. I don't know if I can go out.
You are forsaking everything. Because this isn't just date a white woman and you can still go back to Morehouse and Howard.
Oh, no, I can go back to my parents in Virginia? To my parents in Virginia taking that picture?
My black mother, child of sharecropper in Mississippi Delta cotton picking land.
Talk about it.
Like, just dating a white, like if I brought a white girl home, mama would get married. It would be a conversation, but it would be fine. Mm-hmm. It would be fine. But if I said, mama, here's our wedding invitation, and this is the picture on the wedding invitation, and I'm standing there looking like goddamn John Coffey, like the drink, but with one E, Green Mile. I don't know if my mom would come to that wedding, bro.
Again, your family is so progressive.
Who's the girl in the picture, though, Roy?
Your family progressive as hell, man. Because my grandmama and my mama's whooping our ass.
We are dodging the question.
Yeah, he's dodging.
Ralph, we are dodging the question.
You did well, bro. He dodged the hell out of that.
And I noticed that. And I'm not gonna let you off the hook that easy. Okay? He dodged the question, but come on now. Give it to me.
Who's the white woman
in the picture?
You're asking me to choose a white woman. That
yes.
I will disown. I will not disown. I will be like kicked out of everything black.
We all know somebody's fine enough to get you to do shit like wear the same outfit and take pictures, all that kind of goofy shit. Who's the white woman that's fine enough to get you to take these slave pictures?
If you would have asked me, fuck it, I'm going to answer it.
Okay.
If you would have asked me 15 years ago, my answer would have been Angelina Jolie.
That's hard.
Jolie.
Okay, that when you put it in that
2006 Angelina Jolie was a banger.
Yeah. We talking like, you know, Lara Croft type. Yeah. It's hard for me to pick a white woman. I don't like white girls like that. I'm married to it. I can admit that. But even before that, I ain't talking to white women like that.
This show was a harbinger of racism.
Sorry.
We are not. We saw racism 2 episodes ago. Hello.
Yeah, I got John Meyer dick problems. I'm John Meyer with it. I really got to think a white
here's
woman.
Here's how you work through this answer, Ralph. You first have to pick someone that you know you would already, the ability to merge back. Because if you were married to Angelina Jolie in general, I couldn't even just come kick it at regular black shit no more.
No. Nope.
Because she's already a little out there. Like, she was wearing Billy Bob Thornton's blood around her neck.
She's also South African. So you got to deal with that. Oh, no. Boom. That's my answer. Charlize Theron.
Oh, that's solid.
Charlize Theron, and if I got to give an alternate,
get you to take those pictures
before Monster too. Before Monster, Charlize Theron. Let's be really fucking clear. Like before she played Eileen Wuornos. Like I need that, and if I got to have a backup, Carla Gugino. All right, I'm good.
Jacqueline, Ralph didn't want to answer the question 5 minutes ago. Now he got alternates.
I got alternates. I had to think about it. Y'all put it in perspective
for me. He got a whole damn squad.
Like, I ain't going to meet him no way, so fuck it. Let me go ahead.
He got a whole squad. Well, black people, what you want to be talking to white people about right now is a subject near and dear to our hearts. But it's not dogs, it's animals. And right now, white people are all in a tizzy at the horse that is taking over the title of world's tallest horse. The previous holder of the record, Big Jake, recently died. And so now Fandom is an 8-foot tall, 2,000 pound horse up in Maryland who has taken the online world by storm. It's a big fucking horse.
That's a big ass horse.
It's taller
horse,
than
bro.
Yao Ming. It's huge.
Really?
And apparently he's a gentle giant, and the world is falling in love with the Phantom. Look at the smile on JG's face. Yeah, everybody loves the Phantom.
What do you do with a horse that big? You can't race him. You can't mate him, because I would imagine that's not comfortable for the mare. So,
the previous owner said he got too big for them to take care of, and so he's at this rescue ranch right now, roaming over 300 acres and just having fun. They say he likes attention and he likes sweets, and so he's basically treating him like a big dog, essentially.
Rod, as always, sir, thank you for coming on the program.
Bye, Rod. Thank you.
What's up?
Scam of the week time. And now we got to talk to one of my good friends who can let us know, in that cam world and all of these different ways that people have been making money with their bodies and living on the verge of the freaky deaky, where the potholes are. There's a lot of scams out there. Mm. If there's one business that be scamming, is that industry. JG, I'm going to let you, first I'm going to ask, well, introduce her, and then I have a question for you, Jacqueline.
I already know what your question is, but it's Lisa Ann. And she's an actress and a star in the billion-dollar porn industry.
And
she's also
a wonderful.
She's a legend.
She's a wonderful radio host as well now, and doing her thing up and down the radio dial. Jacqueline, are you familiar with any of Lisa Ann's work? She's since retired from the industry, but a lot of it lives on the various websites out there. Are you familiar with any of her work?
I have never seen Lisa Ann.
Let me just put it this way, JG. She is an ally of black people.
Amen. Amen.
Okay.
Speak that.
I'm reading between the lines.
They say that white people need to do the work. Work was done. And I'm being facetious, and I can be silly like that only because she was kind enough to sit down with me on The Daily Show. This was my first year on The Daily Show, and when you want to talk about someone that's calling out the bullshit, she sat shoulders back, chin up, and said the porn industry is racist as fuck, and she broke it down step by step, layer by layer, and we don't have time to get into that, but basically how there are a lot of white adult stars who don't fuck with black porn. They won't do interracial scenes because it fucks up their brand and fuck up their money. Lisa Ann, when I tell you, it's an honor to be speaking with you again. Thank you for sitting down with me. This ain't quite The Daily Show. It's a different feel.
And everybody can go back and see that episode because we covered a lot of really important topics. But JG, what you need to understand is this is a message that's brought to the young entertainers in the industry by other racist people. So maybe when the entertainers get in, they haven't yet formed an opinion, but they're then told, if you do this, it's going to hurt your brand. You're not going to get feature gigs. You're not going to get box covers. So my entire mission was to prove to everybody how wrong they were and work in the world that I wanted to be in and prove everyone that had those opinions wrong, which I did.
By doing numerous interracial, she did a lot, we're joking, Jacqueline, but she did a lot of interracial porn.
Probably 70% of my work in the industry was interracial.
Yes, it was. Ally. Yes, it was. It
and
was
yes.
Ally,
brilliant
Jacqueline.
Work. Brilliant work.
What I don't want to do is boil down everything that you've done to what you did. There's a lot of shit that you're doing now, and you talk about your free speech advocate. You just so many things that you champion. And the thing that I've always, that's always endeared me to you is how protective you are of new artists that are in the industry, that are entering in the industry that you were once in. And so in the last couple of weeks on the show, just to give you the background, we got to talk with people who do a lot of cam work and the squirt videos and people who sell the used underwear and people who do the, what's it called, Ralph?
The chatterbait. They sell fresh panties.
Basically, people getting, having oral sex in a live stream like Twitch. And so
Okay.
We've explored a lot of different revenue streams, but what are the potholes? And the reason why I wanted to have you on after we talked with all of these other different people is that for listeners who are going, you know what? Let me go and play with Makuuchi on the webcam. What should they be avoiding? What are the ways it could be exploited? What are the what do you know that we don't and that our listeners don't know about that world?
I think the biggest pothole is really society as a whole. So when you look at how many entertainers or civilians even who decided I'm going to start an OnlyFans page during the pandemic, and we were reading every week, there was another story about a housewife and she's making this much money. And we heard what these new to this world people do not realize yet is what it's going to be like when they have to step back out, whether it's going back into the workplace, whether it's taking your children to school. As much as everybody wants to watch you and masturbate to you, there's a mixed bag of emotions that comes up when they see you in real time. And I can tell what's coming at me by someone's expressions when they see me. And it can be positive. Oh my gosh, I love you. It can be great. And it can be kind, but it can also be very guilt ridden on their part where they see you and they associate you with something that they're very ashamed of. And then they want to degrade you. They want to isolate you. They want to remove you from the existence they get to live. Because guess what? We're the only ones on the camera. They're getting to do this behind. We might be seeing them on chat, but we're most likely not seeing their face. Now, I know there are some girls that do one-on-one, two-way camera, but that's such a very small percentage. So you might be in a room and there's 10,000 people there and 9,000 of them have a true issue with what they're doing, but can't deal with it. When they see you in person, the meltdown happens.
There hasn't been a lot of talk about this case since it happened, but there was a shooting spree in Atlanta.
The massage parlor.
Yes, it was.
That was earlier this year.
With a sex addict. But he was a sex addict.
Mm-hmm. And that guy went from parlor to parlor, killing all of the women.
Yeah.
Oh, that.
You know, and the news really didn't cover it.
Which is the most version of that, but is that what you're talking about?
It is. It's the most extreme version of it. But the news didn't really cover it in a sex worker type of conversation, which was too bad because they didn't. And I know we were going through other things and it got put into a different category, but he admitted in an interview that he was addicted to this. So yes, there is that extreme. So I think the pothole that you're mentioning is, so there's that. There's the rest of society when you enter in, as cool as everybody's been about paying your membership or tipping you or everything else, in real time, it's going to be very different. Then there's also the emotional pool. You know, my movies will be on the internet and anybody that's done webcam or been on other platforms, this will be found on the internet forever. So a new 16, 17, 18-year-old that finds it doesn't know what your life is like now, doesn't know you retired, doesn't know anything. And so there's every day new fans that are reaching out thinking they can have sex with you. You do this for money. I mean, I get scolded on the internet at least once a day by somebody that I turn down for sex that says, oh, you get paid to have sex with money, but you're too good for me. And I'm like, yeah, let me explain something to you. I get paid to have sex with a sexual Olympian that I cannot wait to have sex with, okay? He's tested. We're in a secure environment with people that we trust. We're making a product. Look at you, you schlep. You've got 83 followers on your Twitter timeline. You've been on since 2009. You know, so like, You face a lot of weirdness. And I think that weirdness can be a really socially suffocating and really emotionally intoxicating. And so I'm always talking to the younger people still to this day in the industry about their mental health. And are they taking a day where their face isn't glued to a camera? Are they taking a day where they don't wear makeup and they just get to be themselves? Because if you're constantly reading these messages, and I pulled one for you, I actually printed it out. These are the types of messages that you get in OnlyFans. And they're very different than other messages because they feel more entitled. Like they feel like they're putting layaway down on your vagina by paying $12.99 a month. So your OnlyFans members really feel like they can do this. So this guy says, I was wondering if you could possibly fulfill one of my fantasies. And I said, oh, you're so sweet. No, I don't do any individual stuff. I'm too busy trying to entertain the masses. I'm constantly adding new content to my page, working my other jobs. I hope that you're enjoying my page. Thanks for thinking of me. He responds, I was going to ask you or your dentist if you could possibly pull out two or one of your teeth and let me have it. I would be willing to pay you a lot of money. Okay. It's okay, though. I'm sorry I asked. You read enough of those in a week and your head when you walk outside your door is on a swivel. You're so afraid of everybody because this does sift in. That's why it's been such a big money grab for so many years. And that's why for so many years, we've seen a lot of loss in the industry, because you have to be one of the strongest people to be able to endure, to be able to still go out, to be able to interact with other humans when you read thousands of these messages a day.
And that's exactly where I'm going. How do you dance?
I just had my first dating experience that was normal. And when I tell you, you're probably going to be like, I can't believe she's not more upset about this. But I was dating a guy, a civilian, my first real kind of relationship, you know, not like an athlete I hook up with on random that we're like just living an open relationship. This was
Of course.
I'm going to have sex with just one person, right? So I meet this one person. Mm-hmm. This one person had a girlfriend he's been living with for 10 years and lied to me the entire time. It's okay. I wasn't that mad. I had a hunch. I did get a parting gift. I got myself a Cartier bracelet and a Cartier watch and a love bracelet. Cause I was like, you don't want me to talk about this on social media now, do you? You don't want me to name drop on this. Okay. And then you're going to make a donation to Plan in my name for period supplies for a third world country. Like, we're doing shit here. And then I'll never mention this your name again. But it kind of felt normal, because that's what women go through. And what I'm learning is I'm dating as a person for my first time where I realize you have to be a little paranoid. You should go to see his house in 2 or 3 months. But like, I always just thought it was easier for him to come here because I live in the city and at night it's not really safe. So why should a girl be leaving? But like, I have to adjust my thought process. But I do want to date somebody who's just a regular person, because I consider myself a regular person too. But so my first experience was failed, but I can now relate to every one of my girlfriends, because I'm like, yo, look, it happened to me. Like, he was cheating on me the whole time.
So if I'm getting this right, if we're talking about people who are thinking about sex work and cam work and anything where they are forward facing in the face of the brand and it's connected to sex, the hurdles are dating people who are insecure about what you do, your own mental health as it relates to becoming the persona that you present instead of and losing who you really are outside of that persona. And potential psychopaths in public, either embarrassing you, cursing you out. But other than that, great bread.
You're right. Great bread. You got to be smart about it.
Did we miss any potholes, or those the three?
Yeah, those are really the three. You know, the key advice I give to everybody entering the business is to make all your friends outside of the business. It doesn't mean you shouldn't socialize with your colleagues, but it means that when you have friends outside of the business, they keep you grounded. You know, you have different conversations, you do different things, and this gives you balance to kind of neutralize and normalize your life.
You know, I have the distinct honor and pleasure of talking to most of the guests on the show. And this week has been a challenge. I've been doing this for 20 years and it's been mind blowing. But the one thing that's really been a constant is that regardless of how attractive all of the women that I've spoken to are this week, all of them were single. And all of them expressed very similar things that you expressed. The one thing that you didn't say, which one of the people I spoke to had a major issue with, she was like, I'm sick of dating dudes who think that I'm a money pit.
Because I don't share equal or greater value. You're not getting shit from me. Okay. So you know what I'm saying? Like,
There we go.
But it is a problem in the industry. But when I saw what we call suitcase pimps, they're the guys that are like, I'll drive
that's
your
what she called it. That's exactly what she said. Wait, she said these suitcase pimps.
But what is that exactly? Is that just a person who just basically, hey, bring me back the money?
I mean, you know, it's somebody that feels that because he's driving her and helping her and supporting her, it's a very lonely business. So a lot of girls fall for it in the sense of like, hey, no one else is going to love me. This guy's going to be there for me. He doesn't care what I do. You know, he's, you know, but he doesn't care what you do. He wants you to do more and more and more because he wants to take half of your money or sometimes even more. There's some of them that have been doing it for 10, 15 years. About every 2 years, they get a new girl. And I'm like, man, kudos to you and your hustle for continuing to drag bags and drive a girl's car and get her to set. And you really ain't working. Like, I props to them, props. But your suitcase pimps are real.
The other thing that I've heard, and I kind of want you to address this, they were saying that it was hard to date because some of the guys that they were running across were basically jealous of their success. Do you find that as well?
I would probably say that's why I'm single. I thought it would be better living in an apartment. I used to have my girlfriends tell me in LA, don't take a guy to your house, because as soon as he sees your house, he's going to hate you because you've done well for yourself. And maybe if, you know, But it's very true. Guys, you know, not all men, but in general, I've noticed that if they don't feel that you need them, there seems to be this like, oh, she doesn't need me at all. What can I bring? And I always tell guys this, like in my dating or my friendships, I'm like, listen, just be cool so we can enjoy each other's company. I don't need anything from anybody other than a fun, trustworthy, cool relationship. Like if you put it out there, but it is tough. But also men are very jolted by feeling like they can never compete sexually with the sex you've already had on set. You know, they know. I mean, these are sexual Olympians you work with. I mean, Lexington Steel, he's not walking down the street every day. But when he is,
You know what? And I get that because I believe that that woman, even though she's dealing with sexual Olympians, she'll still come home to you.
For sure. We've chosen to do something different. But you know what's worse? When you're the guy and you're out on a date with a porn star who's very popular and some random guy walks up, hands you a phone and says, yo, take a picture of me and Lisa Ann. That to me is, what? It happens anytime I go to a restaurant with a new dude in my life. And it is the worst experience because you've just made my dude, my suitcase. Like he's not a photographer. He's my actual date.
Yeah. You know what I
mean? That's tough.
Lisa Ann, it's obvious that you are a successful businesswoman. What other projects do you have?
Yeah, talk to us about the sport betting now.
Oh, yes, and I have a new book. I have a new book coming out this December. Ooh. I just finished writing my second book. I'm very excited about it. So it's going to be a great story about the journey of what it's been like for me since I left the industry to now. Getting into doing regular sports betting for Bovada has been absolutely fantastic. And then, of course, my fantasy sports background. And I got to travel to Turkey last year to be a part of the very first ever series of sexual education videos in Turkey. And you understand, in Islamic culture, porn is still illegal. You're not allowed to talk to kids outside of the house about sex, but they're trying to control the STD uptick they're seeing since kids today are smart enough to watch their porn on like Twitter or have a VPN booster. So now I'd like to really go to different countries through Durex and express this to leaders who maybe don't know what young kids are being exposed to because of the internet.
First off, the first book is called The Life by Lisa Ann. You can grab that wherever you read. If you don't know how to read, get Audible, a motherfucker read it to you.
Oh, I did the audiobook during pandemic in my bedroom closet. I recorded that myself.
Nice.
Fantasy football. Saquon Barkley, back from the ACL injury. Do we take him in the first or second round? Is he a first round draft pick running back this year in fantasy?
Man, if you can get him in the second round, you have to take him. Okay. You have to take him in the second. I can understand being a little apprehensive in the first. We've seen Saquon come back, recover well from injuries in the past. The Giants did do a little bit of work. And look, if Daniel Jones can really get his act together this season, I mean, you can't expect a Josh Allen turnaround, but you can expect him to be better. Remember, they also had three linemen opt out because of COVID last season. That did affect all teams. And I love Saquon. I still do believe in him. I wouldn't take him before like pick five, but I'm going to have some diversity in my leagues. And if he's there and I'm five and he's still there, I'll take him. Because I like what he can bring to a game. I know he's a good kid. I know he doesn't party. I know he's not stupid with his decisions, and he's football first and family first. So with those two factors, I always will draft a player higher knowing his commitment level.
Holy shit.
She know her
that
shit.
That got me more excited than some of her old work. Like, holy shit. You talk Premier League like that, Lisa Ann? Because we might have to holler. Like,
I do need to learn Premier League because everyone wants me to talk it. I get hit up all the time to start talking more Premier League.
Me and you, we're gonna talk after this. I'm going to make you an Arsenal fan. I'm going to make you come up the hard way because I'm an Arsenal fan. But we're going to talk. Yeah, I got you. I got you.
All of her socials is The Real Lisa Ann, at The Real Lisa Ann. Please reach out to her. When I say thank you, friend, I'm sorry it's been 5 years since the last time we spoke. But when I see you out and about on a date, I'll shoot you a wink and keep it moving and stay out the way because I don't want the dude to think nothing crazy.
Listen, it's been 5 years, but how long did it actually take me to respond to your email when you hit me? Like 5 minutes, because I was like, boo, boo, we got to reconnect. This is fantastic.
It was
so
less than
6 minutes,
and I'm not bullshitting, Ralph.
That's what's up.
I started to DM you, but I knew you'd never see that shit, so I had to hit a Daily Show producer.
That's buried under dick pics, okay? Don't put your DM under some dick pics, man. Why would you do that?
Lisa Ann, thank you so much for coming on the job there.
Thanks for having me.
That's the show. We did it, Jacqueline. We did it.
Yes.
It took us 2 weeks to do it, but I feel like we have adequately giving you every tool that you need to start Jacqueline's used draws.
Running hard, son. Hit the ground running. Like,
you know, I hope that this has been a service. Royce Job Fair is a product of Comedy Central and iHeartRadio and South Park and Princeton Productions. Third, as always, thank you, sir. Thank you for helping line up some of these wonderful, wonderful guests that we've been able to get on this show. Jacqueline, thank you for being the moral compass that keeps us from going off the rails. These last 2 weeks, we've stressed.
We've been needing you.
You have been needed. Your innocence is beautiful, and it is pure. And it is your curiosities that help to represent those of the listeners that aren't quite sure if they want to fly to China to sell that monkey for $700. But you reassure them that they can cheat on their husband for as long as they're getting a fucking 1099.
It's not cheating, Roy. It's a job.
Is this the part where we get to announce our NFT of Jacqueline's single pair of drawers?
I went to wash today and I thought about this. I was like,
You washed them? You ruining the money, Jay.
I did. I went to wash today and I was like,
I'm so disappointed. She learned nothing. She's learned nothing, Roy.
Let me look at your passport, Jacqueline, see if we have been to China.
Respectfully. I told you just can't say that.
Next week, COVID. We're going to be serious next week.
Ni hao.
This has been a Comedy Central podcast.